Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined. G'day, my name is Malcolm Nichols, and I'd like to welcome you once more to another episode of Man Reimagined. And tonight I'm sitting, as I always do, with my good mate Richard Ayling. He's over in Portugal, I'm sitting here in New Zealand. And tonight we have a special guest with us. Stephanie Dickinson is coming all the way from Bali to talk to us about relating, relationships, how to do it authentically, openly, and in a very real manner. So I'm just about to handball the mic over to Stephanie to get started, but I will warn you, Stephanie and both Richard have confessed that they're a little bit nervous tonight, so we're about to find out why. Stephanie, take it away.
What an introduction. I love it. Let's get real and transparent right off the bat. So good to be here with both of you. And yeah, my name is Stephanie Dickinson. I am from California. I've been living in Bali for the past several years. And what I teach, what I coach in, is authentic relating, conscious relating, which is basically how can I help people bring in themselves more fully and more authentically into all of their relationships, so that they find freedom and fulfillment. And this is relationships like with your partner, in business, with your family. That's my bread and butter. That's my jam. And in terms of why I'm nervous today, it's true. Rich and I are kind of sweating over here. We've admitted it already because Rich and I have some history. he's cracking up over here. I can see him. We dated years ago. And so we've very much lived what we're going to be sharing with you today. Rich and I have lived this out in the last several years. And so we've been able to transform our relationship from a romantic partnership into a really high quality, amazing friendship that honestly is so meaningful and valuable to me, so enriching in my life. So we're going to be sharing that today.
Yeah. Hi, Stephanie. You look lovely. So I'm obviously a little bit nervous for just silly reasons, really. As Stephanie put it, we've transformed a relationship which went through many stages in its kind of short existence into something beautiful now. And it's like, why couldn't everyone do that? Why wouldn't everyone want to? So we're not going to go straight into the history and our kind of private stuff, right? But if and when that comes up and it's helpful, then of course, you know, we're open to sharing that because it's clean and clear now, right? Which is great. Let's start with a bit about why this means so much to you, why you got into it, because we want to talk about it and how useful relating more authentically is to men, why we all think and feel that men struggle with that. But I'd love to hear your perspective on that, and we can pick the conversation up from there. But perhaps it's a great place to start as to, you know, why you're doing this. Why is this your thing right now?
You know what really got me going in the beginning with this is I used to be a mindfulness teacher and a mindfulness coach, and that's amazing. I'm all about meditation and mindfulness. But what I was really starting to experience in my life was, okay, wait, I have a really strong practice with my meditation. I live mindfulness practices through and through, day in, day out. That's great. But where I'm seeing the most impact is when I'm taking these mindfulness practices and I'm using them with other people, like at work or within my family. And that's where I was seeing so much transformation that was really like having a massive ripple effect. And that's what really got me thinking, wait a minute, so many people are really, myself included, are really focusing on like, what can my spiritual practice do for me? What can my meditation or mindfulness practice do for me? But I was like, wait, what happens if I use this everywhere with everyone I'm relating to, especially those I'm intimate with or close with? What's possible? So I started playing with it and experimenting, and then I learned a lot more. I started training. in these modalities like conscious relating and authentic relating and practicing, especially when it came to my family members. I have divorced family. So my family is, they're well-intentioned, but very disjointed. And I always felt like a desire for more closeness and more connection with my family than what we've had in the last 30 plus years. So I was able to take some of these practices and actually bring them in to my family and have a major transformation. And I'm closer with my mom, my dad, my family members than I've ever been before. And it's not just me with them. It's actually completely changed the way we relate as a family unit. And it's so much better. It's so much more real. It's so liberating compared to where we were just a few years ago before we did any of this work. So that's why I'm like, I know this works. I know how good this can feel. And then I've just kept going with it since then, in my personal life and sharing it professionally and with my friends, of course, too. And then I get to see like amazing transformations, happy people, healthy people. And that's what I care about. So that's why I'm doing this.
Thanks, Stephanie. So as somebody who is not up to play with or hasn't met you before and had conversations with you before, so I'm curious, you've talked about mindfulness and using that. So what does that have to do with conscious relating? So do you want to maybe talk me through and talk the listeners through, you know, what you're doing in order to develop a fuller or a deeper relationship with somebody?
Sure, I like this question. So like in terms of mindfulness practices, you know, a lot of them are like awareness-based. It's like the simple thing might be like in your meditation, you're aware of your breath or sensation or something like that. But there's the element of like, oh, I'm being aware. I'm choosing to be aware. I'm choosing to be conscious on what's happening in my body or what's happening in my mind. And it's following that same principle, but just taking it into aspects of relating. So as let's say Rich and I are relating in a conversation or as partners or as friends, it's that awareness of like, what's happening here? Rather than just kind of being in our typical patterns, our typical reactions, it's like having that pause, that awareness in somewhere in my mind that goes, wait a second, what's really going on here? And how can I bring in more choice into this relationship so that we're not on autopilot. We're not just repeating our attachment styles or old patterns or something. It gives us that freedom, that choice point. That's why it's so powerful. When you have that choice point, we get to actually get more of what we want, especially if, let's say, again, in that analogy, Rich and I are both doing that. We both have that awareness in us. That's going to create so many more options and opportunities for us to have a better, healthier relationship where we each get more of what we want.
Cool. Yeah, I really like that. I mean, do you find that it can backfire with people? You know, I mean, what I mean by that is there can be resistance from other people, right, in terms of being that connected and that open and that honest. So what is it that you do in those situations?
Another great question. So this question actually comes up often. Like I've literally taught thousands of people these practices and how to really in this conscious way. And this is a common question, especially if someone is going through a program with me and they're saying, I really want to take this to my husband or have this practice with my mom, but they're not in this program with me. They're not willing to learn this. Can I alone make a difference in my relationship? And the answer is wholeheartedly yes. I know that because I've done it. I've seen it done thousands of times now. And what it comes down to is the piece around ownership. So when I'm going through this program, I'm owning that I am choosing to do this foremost for myself. And I am not doing this to hopefully, in a codependent fashion, change other people and the way they feel and manage how they feel. I'm going to do it foremost for myself. And what I have seen is when I do that, I naturally inspire other people. We're a pro-social species. We really pick up on each other's cues. So if I start acting in a certain way, even someone like my dad, who honestly doesn't even know what yoga is, okay? He's like, doesn't get that world at all. Even someone like him picks up on it and is able to follow suit with me. And it's just making that choice for yourself, owning that choice, and even being willing to say, hey, I'm going to be a leader in my relationships. I'm not going to go in as a teacher and like force this modality or this training on someone, but I'm going to just embody it. I'm going to be the example. And if people want to follow suit with me, oh, awesome. Great. If not, that's their choice. It's okay. You know, maybe they will later or years later, you know, they might come around, but mostly like make that choice for yourself and own it.
Beautiful. And just the point that you said in there, Rich, I heard embodied come in. So Stephanie, we did a podcast, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago on embodiment. And, you know, we talked very, it was very much about this, the process of getting into the body and working with the body, right? As a tool to shift and move and to come into the present moment. And it's great to hear it used also in the framework of what you're talking about, which is about embodying. It's like taking on the concept and the construct of being present in that relationship with somebody else, right? And yeah.
So nice. True. And I love that you've already done a podcast on embodiment. I think I saw that or heard Rich mention that before. Or maybe I saw it on his feed on Instagram. But this is so important because this is actually a huge piece of what I bring into my work and what the people I work with start doing in their relationships. It's how to basically like feel your feelings. Even if you're a man or even if you're a masculine woman, which I can relate to in my past where it's like, ooh, I'm going to bottle up those feelings. I don't have time to do that. I'm busy at work. I need to succeed. I'm going to box those up. I'll get to those like next year. It's like, ooh, but how can I actually feel my sensations? How can I feel my feelings? How can I bring this outward and online for myself and the person or people I'm relating with? And yeah, so embodiment is definitely a huge factor in that. Bringing yourself like physically, your actual body is part of your relationship too. What's it telling you? Listen to it. Share that with your partner. Share that with whoever you're relating to. That's huge.
Thank you for that. You've done an amazing job at not mentioning words like vulnerability, which I think we've said in the podcast many times, words that men tend to run away from. And as you've said, like, you know, you bottle up your feelings and you deal with them next year, if ever, right? So the idea of authentically relating to people means being honest. It means being vulnerable to an extent. And yet I don't like to use those words. I don't think they're necessary. There is a level of vulnerability that's required. And yet it's just noticing how you're feeling in your body when you're talking to someone and then sharing that with them. And that can be edgy, but it's deeply, deeply rewarding because that there's a level of trust that comes in there. Right. So can you explain more gracefully, as I've just tried to, what that actually looks like? And especially to men that are listening going, you know, authenticity, I get it. It's useful. It's important. And yet it's not something that I find very, very easy. So what would you say to them and deepen what I just tried to explain?
Yeah, I love the points that you just brought up right now. First off, I get you with vulnerability. I don't tend to use that word when I'm sharing about relationships. I like the word courage. I think it takes a lot of courage to reveal what you're really thinking and how you're really feeling. That's the word that comes up for me. It's like, can I be courageous right now? Can I be courageous enough to reveal the truth of what's happening inside of me? That's what I think vulnerability is. But I sometimes think when we hear vulnerability, it brings up like connotations of weakness or softness. Or sometimes it's like I get an image of someone like crying and feeling really like crushed, but your vulnerability or your courage to just share how you're actually feeling could be a really joyous thing, because so many people hold back their joy and their happiness because they think, oh, I don't want to show off, or I should like hold back. I need to be more humble. I don't want to come off like I'm bragging. So they don't share like a passion of theirs or a joy of theirs. Or maybe they're like, oh, I'm going to be judged about this. So that's why I think it can be like full spectrum things. It could be like, yeah, it could be your sadness that you want to share, but it could also be like owning the fact that like, I'm a badass at XYZ and just owning it. You know, I think so. I think of that in terms of like, how courageous can I be? And then what's coming up in the moment and how that can look in relationships, the way we use it. And this I've literally seen like thousands and thousands of people do this. I bring this online to a lot of groups I do. I do a lot of online festivals, and I bring this into every practice or every session. And I'll have people share in front of everyone, even if they just type it out in the chat box, like just name a sensation that's happening in your physical body. Name one emotion that's present just right now, anything that you can feel, maybe in your heart space, whatever, but in your emotion body, and one thought that's in your head. It could be like a recurring thing, or it could be like, oh, I have this, you know, checklist playing in my mind. But just to get in that practice of naming what's happening inside of you in the moment and putting that out there in front of people. Sometimes people think, oh my God, I'm going to sound like a crazy person. Someone says, hi, how are you? And I say, oh, well, my armpits are sweating, and because this is actually happening right now, my armpits are sweating and I feel a little bit of fluttering in my chest, and I feel nervous and excited, and I have this thought in my head that you might be judging me. Yeah, that can be a lot. I'm not saying that you need to do that in every conversation, but how can you take a fragment of that and answer someone honestly, especially if it's someone you care about and who cares about you, and they're saying, hey, how you doing? Like, what's going on? Instead of just telling the story of how you're doing, like the typical answer that you could do in autopilot, how can you get a little more real? How can you be a little more courageous in that moment and be like, yeah, I'm all right, but yeah, I've kind of been struggling a bit this week. Or yeah, pretty good. I feel really healthy. But I'm noticing I'm kind of stressed mentally. And maybe that's what you say. And that's that. And you don't want to go into it further, and you don't have to. But can you bring in just a little bit more to the people you care about?
I love that so much. And it just reminds me of the start of a men's circle, or at least the circles that Mel and I like to run, because there's an invitation to do the high and low round. And you say what's going great for you in the last couple of weeks or since you were in the circle, and then the low. And it just invites that level of honesty and beyond what you might normally typically say, because from what I can see is that level of openness that you're talking about and inviting us to experience with each other, it isn't every day. It's not there, because it could be a lot, not just to share like sweaty armpits, but the thought that, you know, I'm kind of afraid that you're judging me. And yet these are natural thoughts that all of us have on a daily basis. And just to speak to them, I know is really powerful. And you making the choice to do that, invite somebody else, but as you said before, it's not like a must, right? What do you think about this idea of consent in these kind of conversations? Because it doesn't always work, does it? And if one person uses the language and invites this kind of thing, and it can really freak other people out, and they often don't know how. I mean, that's our bread and butter, you and I, Stephanie. Same with you and I, Mal. But for those out there also that just don't know how, is there some kind of way into this? And the idea of consent as well, what have you got to say to that?
Yeah, we're on the same wavelength when it comes to the consent conversation. And also like the consideration of like, yeah, these are things that we're all honestly feeling probably most days from here to there, like, and not saying out loud. So to answer your question, I would say, be willing to sound a little bit weird sometimes, especially if it's someone that knows you well, you know, and like, or someone that you would like to know you better. Like you're like, I actually trust this person. Maybe I can be a little bit more real with them. And it's like, just like I said, just giving like that little bit more, it's like, you don't have to reveal that your armpits are sweaty or something. You can just do it in a way that's just like, maybe just an inch more, just like a centimeter more of what you would have done before. And that's fine. Like if you have a very stereotypical conversation with a good friend of yours, and you guys always talk about sports, or you always talk about the weather or whatever, fine, keep doing that. But could you also branch out just a bit and bring in a little bit more of your personal inner world to a conversation, even if it's just one statement? And then in terms of consent, I would say, if you're plugging something in just a little bit more, I don't think you have to worry about consent. However, if you're like, I want to really reveal a lot more of what's going on in me, I absolutely recommend getting consent from someone. It makes someone a better listener when you've asked them if they're willing to hear you and listen, and you set some context. so that they know what they're getting into. Otherwise, you run the risk of emotionally dumping on someone and leaving them like shocked, like, well, I wasn't expecting this. I don't know how to react. And therefore, you might feel unheard. You might feel like, what the fuck was the point of me saying and doing this? But you're not setting that person up to help you succeed in your sharing. And that's where consent comes in and setting context.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Stephanie. And as you were sharing that, I had a chuckle to myself. I can remember years ago, I had a really good friend of mine who I love dearly. But I used to always remember, like, there'd be the odd occasion when I'd go, "Hey mate, how you doing?" And there would be this long pause, and I could feel myself go, I'd almost like grab the table and go, "Shit, uh-oh, here it's coming." And then it would just boom. And I was like, all right. So thankfully he gave me that pause. So I was almost like, okay, fuck, be prepared, because it's about to come. But this thing of a warning, some kind of warning that is really important, is what I'm hearing you say. And I mean, I think the other thing too, that as you're talking, that's coming up for me is that we're talking a lot about the speaker and what the speakers bring into the table. But it strikes me that you know, in a conversation, there's always a speaker and a listener, right? And that, so, and in many ways, actually, that the listener contributes as much, if not more, to the capacity for somebody to be able, for a conversation to evolve and develop, right? So, I mean, what's your input around becoming a better listener, if you like, or learning how to give somebody permission to actually open up, if you like?
That's the golden question. I love that. Like, what can someone do to become a better listener? It's really important. I have seen time and time again, people think that they're great listeners. And then after one day with me, they're like, "Oh shit, I suck at listening." And I'm like, it's okay, you're not alone. But by tomorrow and by next week and next month, you're going to be getting better and better. And I'm like that too. I used to think I was an amazing, amazing listener until I started doing these training programs and then implementing this. And I was like, oh, now I can actually say I'm an amazing listener and I've earned it. So what someone can do, like, you're right, it's really important for the speaker, but like, being a good listener, I feel like you're in the position to give someone the gift of feeling heard and being seen. And to do that, like, without giving them advice or trying to fix them or like address their problems or something, and just literally listening to their words and showing with eye contact, body language, a few affirmations with words to let them know, I hear you, I'm listening, like fully listening to you, and I get you. People just want to know so, so desperately that they're understood, that someone freaking gets them. And if you can give that gift to someone, you literally could be saving somebody's life by doing that. That's how powerful it is. And you could be saving your relationships by doing that too. So there's, yeah, Rich.
I felt like you were speaking to me and men there, and yet it's important to not overgeneralize and reaffirm what you just said, isn't that all people, like all humans, need this. And yet my sense is, and you can tell me if this is unfair or not, is that men in particular could do with learning this, to do this a bit better. I understand that plenty of women have said that they just want to feel seen and heard by their partner, if their partner is a man, and not for them to try and fix or resolve that, you know, whatever that thing is. So is that fair, what I'm saying? And what's your sense of men and where they are in this, as far as you want to comment on that?
I get that assumption about men, and maybe this idea that men aren't as good at listening as women. I see where it comes from, but in my experience, professionally and personally, this isn't true. I do think that men and women are equally poor listeners, generally speaking, and therefore have lots of room for growth and improvement. And I see men succeeding just as frequently and just as much as women in this field. So something that I really do love about conscious relating is that it's masculine and feminine integrated. It's for men and women both. It isn't just like a masculine or manly style. It's not just this feminine or womanly way of talking about something. Because if we were to go one way or the other, we're leaving half of our population out, half of our relationships like left in the dark. So this is what I love about it. So there's room for growth from both for both men and women here. Like, for example, I find that women do tend to be more expressive, can come out and share their emotions more. However, I do think that generally speaking, most women or people in their feminine energy are more prone to emotional dumping and not setting context, maybe not getting permission. This could be men in their feminine energy as well, not just women. And I think that in terms of men, the assumptions are like the projections out there. And I see there's some truth to it, but because men typically, when they're listening, they say less. They might silently be listening, whereas women are giving nods or vocal cues that let the person who they're listening to, those cues let them know like, oh, I'm with you. I'm listening. I'm nodding. I'm right with you every moment. And men don't do that as much, but there are lots of other ways, other techniques, other practices to weave in to let the speaker and listener, you know that they're being listened to and received and that there's cohesion there. I'm hoping that all clicked. I would feel like I kind of dumped a lot in there, but I hope it made sense.
Oh, I love that. And thank you for giving me, I guess, clarity and also hope. You know, I liked hearing what you said. That made me, that inspired me a lot. The word came up for me as I was listening to you around presence. And that seems to be like a key component of what you're talking about. And again, let's not kind of get locked in men and women and how one performs or anything like that. But what, how important is presence to you? Because, and especially in this dynamic, because you talked about men typically saying nothing, and there's something in just being able to give presence without needing to constantly, you know, like nod. And some people find that they need that a lot more, but can you explore a bit more, explain a bit more on what presence can look like and what a healthy version of it can look like and how we can develop that as humans rather than obviously just men?
Yeah, great. I do think that presence is absolutely key. And especially going back to a few moments ago when we were talking about setting context and getting consent. So it's sort of like if I have something as a woman or as a man that I need to or want to share with, let's say, my partner, I want to succeed in that interaction. So I want to set my partner up to succeed as well as myself. And a big thing that I can do is first, like we said, getting setting some context of what's going to be shared or how and when, getting the yes from that person, so getting their consent. And then because you have the setup, you have the structure, you know how long you're going to talk and where you're meeting and kind of the general topic, you know, who's going to be speaking and who's going to be listening and for how long and what's expected. That means that because all of those things are in place, when you come together, you will be in presence. You're not going to be on your phones. You're not going to be in a crowded place with distractions at a restaurant or something, because you've set it up so that you're in an appropriate place to create presence for this conversation, whether it's 5 minutes or it's an hour long. And presence can be full body listening. That's how I like to think of it if you're in the listener role. So yeah, you're hearing the words that someone's saying, but you're really allowing yourself to empathize with them, meaning let yourself be impacted by what they're sharing with you. Let yourself feel like, if I were in their shoes, what would that feel like? And give yourself a few moments to let yourself go there. Because a lot of times we don't want to feel what someone's sharing because, wow, they're talking about how sad they are, how stressed they are. I don't want to feel that in my body. So we want to put a guard up and protect ourselves. But if we can really empathize with someone just for a few moments, it's not that we're going to take that on ourselves and carry it with us like baggage, but just for that moment being like, oh, I know what that emotion's like. I can get them more. And I think that's one way you can offer presence is with empathy. And yeah, there are certain words you can use to let men or women know that you're hearing them and getting them. I find, yeah, people really like when you can say something like, for example, I think women especially like this, but I found men do too. If someone's sharing with me, I might ask them the question, like, is there more? And let them, you know, like prompt them to like, and welcome them. And that's one way I can offer my listening and my presence even more. And another way I do it is I will share with them some of what I've heard them say. Maybe I'll use some of the same words, but I'll also let them know how I'm feeling them. This is huge. Especially like, yeah, we were talking about couples or something here, but like, honestly, this can go for any relationship. If someone's just shared something with me, I want to let them know, not only like I'm like a robot and I've heard everything you've said, I want to let them know like, oh my God, I get how you're feeling. And like, I might even go further and say, if I were you, I'd feel the same way. And I get that. And just like, let them know, like, oh, I know how it feels when someone lets you down. That can be crushing. Something like that, like just like offer that kind of impact back. That's another way to offer your presence there too.
Yeah, I really like that. Although I know there are sometimes if somebody says, have you got more to say? I'm like, damn fucking right, I've got more to say. But it can be a bit of a wind up too. I know that I've used that on my wife every now and then, and that's just she's like, she just feels like I'm fucking winding her up. So you got to be mindful, and obviously when you're asking those questions, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So I'm curious now. I mean, I certainly feel like I've got a really good sense of the work, the work you do, but the goal that you just shared with us about, how simple it is to actually transform a relationship just through this on honesty and courageous. I love that courageousness, right? Yeah. So I'm kind of curious to know about you two, because one of the things that, you know, you two have shared is that you guys were in a relationship, and you've kind of made this journey from being in a relationship into really close friends, which I'm obviously getting to witness right now. So, you know, I'm curious in terms of, how that journey was for you and what you guys encountered, and, you know, and sharing this simply for people who are going through challenging relationships and they're going through difficult times, but they know that they want to have a relationship with this person. So, you know, that means that they're going to have to do something, right? So yeah, do you just want to share some of your journey? And Rich, you can jump in on this as well, mate.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, where do we start, you know?
In the really, really juicy bits.
I'm happy to go into the juicy bits, because that's often where people need to, like, see and hear how to get some guidance when you're in the thick of it. So if we were to do that, ooh. Oh boy, some truth's gonna come out here.
You just got the thumbs up from Rich, so
yeah. Well, I would say I'll just kind of highlight, like, when Rich and I were dating, there were so many wonderful things about our relationship and the way we were together and the way we related. We related to each other. And we also had some mega challenges that came up in our own lives and really played out in our relationship. And when we look back and talk about it now, we're like, wow, we were really like beyond our capacity, probably even on our own in some ways, but to like be in a relationship that we were, you know, cultivating something meaningful with. Wow, we just like didn't have support. We didn't, you know, this was before I had done any work with conscious relating in a big way. We were practicing some of the things in our relationship, but we also like didn't have that much support. And it was just like breaking us down to the point where I think Rich and I both, and I can speak for myself, I got really reactive and I would get like really in my own patterns, which for me, the time were more avoidant. definitely some avoidant patterns, but also like we had some fights, and both of us, like, I'm not a fighter, but we had some fights where I was like, damn, the fire, we're just like coming out with daggers right here, which I don't think is really like who we are, but we kind of got cornered and we would sometimes go for it. And that's like such a different way to be in conflict than the way we have been in conflict and resolved conflict since then, including with each other, because we worked through a lot of, some pretty big and personal things. And we did it in a really healthy way, but we weren't doing that initially. And hop in any time here, Rich.
Sure. I'm just having a glass of water. I suddenly have a dry throat, but no. I agree with everything that you just said. It's just funny that we're discussing this publicly, and yet we've talked it over so many times since. And again, it's always felt clean and really clear. When I look back at those moments, I second everything that you just said. It was, pretty shitty at times, wasn't it? And we've both forgiven ourselves and each other for that, which has been beautiful. And as much as you dived into the avoidant dynamic, I was very much needy. And I look back at that part of me and go, wow. And we've really had to, it's taken time, hasn't it? And yet what came to mind earlier when you were talking about setting up the context and like how much time it's going to be. And I was like, oh, it might sound like kind of laborious and like a meeting or something. And yet that's the ownership I think you were talking about. Like, this means something. And when you were describing that process, like, I remember what she was doing now. When we first sat down and had that really important yet transformational conversation, because I wanted to come up and do a workshop that I knew you were co-facilitating in this area. And I thought, I guess I probably should have a conversation with her first, clear any charges and make sure we're okay before just turning up. That would be not in integrity. And so I reached out to you with that idea in mind. You were like, yeah. And I think what's key to mention is that we were, and I'm speaking to anyone that's no longer in a relationship and would love to clear something up, we were both ready to do that. And we were both in a space where we sat down and those boundaries were established to have a very powerful conversation. A few months before that, for sure, it would have been a very different situation. And I guarantee for myself only that I would have gone back to my kind of reactivity, my neediness and my, the anger that I felt at the time. So that, and these are all things that I need to own and I had to do myself before coming back to what is a beautiful relationship now. But that conversation was pivotal and I credit you for framing it. And of course, both of us for showing up to it so fully, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you mentioned the work that we each did separately before we came together and the fact that we both were ready to meet and create something new. Because you're right, like months before that, I think I was feeling kind of ready for it, but I wasn't going to pressure it or push it. And also I was like, I don't know where he's at. And, we weren't really ready. But when it came around, we set it up in a really clear way. The other thing that I think was amazing that you highlighted is this word boundaries. We've had amazing boundaries. We had pretty great boundaries when we were together, but like definitely when we came back together and said, hey, let's like have a bit of a clearing here and then set a new context for how we can relate to each other. That was all around context and boundaries. And like, what is available, honestly, what is available to us right now? And we were really real with each other. Like we weren't just showing up as like robots, and just trying to like set boundaries and whatever. We were real and said like, yeah, there might be some attraction there. So what can we do? What, if this happens, how do we handle it? How can we check in about XYZ so that we're both feeling really comfortable in a healthy dynamic as friends, not as lovers or partners. So yeah, it took a lot of like caring work, but honestly, when I look back, it doesn't feel like it was hard work because it's so worth it. Because like right away, I was like, this feels so good. This feels so much better. And then every single time we would talk and meet, it would just continue on that trajectory. And it has ever since. So it's been absolutely worth like taking the time to set the framework and everything.
Thank you two, for your honesty. I think that this piece of that you both talked about, the right time, just strikes me as being such a pivotal thing when it comes to trying to change or create a new relationship with somebody when you've had something in the past. I like to think of it as, you can't really, if you've been in a relationship with somebody, you can't really create a friendship until the cord feels completely cut, right? And it's almost like you can kind of form a new chord between the two of you that has a whole different set of a different dynamic, completely different dynamic to it, right? It's like the a whole new set of veins or something pulsing through between the two of you, right? So get it. And I mean, I also it speaks to being time and being ready, and I congratulate you guys on seemingly getting that right, because God only knows I've got that timing wrong on a number of occasions, and it's all just kind of blown up to shit. So I mean, is there a sense that can you get a sense of time, or is it just a gut feel, do you reckon?
I think it's definitely a gut feel, and this is like a space where I think you have to be really honest with yourself, and kind of looking at like, yeah, okay, my heart's saying this, but like, what's my gut saying, and like, what's going on beneath that? Do I have any like subconscious drivers here? Like, if you ever were thinking of reconnecting with an ex or setting a new foundation, and you catch a background thought that's like, ooh, I want him to see me again because maybe he'll want me back and then we'll get back together. Or you catch anything like, oh, I hope that he, hears about me and my new guy and he feels jealous or something, where if you catch threads like that, I think any kind of cues like that, that would be a sign that you're not ready to actually re-meet this person and create a new relationship with them. Cause that's really what it feels like. It's almost like a re-meeting. And looking, like, I looked at Rich, like, who are you today? And Rich is a different man. Like when Rich and I met before we did that, that workshop, that training that I was co-facilitating before he came around and we did this, he was a different man then. And he's a different man today. So it's like, how can I look at him and be like, who is he today? And how can we relate today and not bring in the stuff from the past? Unless we're talking about it on a podcast because it's relevant, but that's for learning purposes, so it's different. Of course. Yeah, but there's a big willingness there to like, I have really forgiven Rich and I've really forgiven myself. And that was a place that we actually started with when we came together, was apologizing, owning up to stuff we did that hurt each other, clearing that. We cleared like the hurts and the resentments. We apologized, we expressed that kind of sadness or disappointment was there. That's where it started. After that was cleared and had a bit of settling, then we slowly started building a new friendship. And it did feel new because we had actually really cleared our past stuff together.
Yeah, again, to second all of that and to thank you for setting that conversation up, because there might be people listening that could easily be triggered by the idea of having to forgive someone. And again, that's clearly an indication that you're not in that space yet. It feels like without emotionally dumping, there has to be a way to express how you felt, how it made you feel. I mean, again, it's ownership. Right? You made me feel is something I've learned that it doesn't exist, right? Then that's a key piece. And yet somehow expressing like, look, I just need to be heard in the fact that that really hurt. Right. And so I was able to share that with you and vice versa. And there's like a, oh, wow. And seeing that human, the human that they were then and the human that you are now, actually being able to care and show up for that person. And it's so healing, I think, for both sides. But again, I'll only speak for myself, just to be heard in that, like, I don't know if you realize this, but this is how it actually was. And that really impacted me like this. And then for you to go, yeah, okay, well, this is how it felt for me. It's like, okay, whoa. I'm hearing you say, Rich, that, and to paraphrase, and actually in key moments using exactly the same language to show that you really were fucking listening and you give a shit. And it's so healing for that, just to be heard in that way. And this doesn't have to be, this can be like a boss employee relationship, right? It doesn't have to be all about intimacy. Of course, that's where it tends to hurt the most. But if we were able to relate more deeply, more authentically like this, it just in being heard and saying that this is how it impacted me, because the other person will also be like, wow, I didn't actually realize that, and this was the last thing I intended, this is what I thought was going on. And so two people then saying, oh, we totally failed to hear and see each other in that moment. And that feels to me like the root of most grievances, conflicts, right?
100%. Yes.
I have a question though. Like some of the framing and ways of consciously relating to people triggers me sometimes in that you've joked before by referring to it as being robotic, because we can actually just paraphrase and parrot back what people have said without the presence and without the empathy. And so how important are these pieces? Because for me, when someone says, yeah, okay, thanks for sharing, I heard you say X, Y, Z. And you're like, this just feels like a workshop. You know what I mean? You're not really here. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there's this, it's more than just a set of exercises, modalities and phrases. You know, there's something deeper there. What is that for you and how important is it?
I'm glad you asked this question, because this is what I wanted to speak to anyway. So thanks for the permission here. As I heard you speaking, Rich, what was like really coming to me and what I'm about to share actually answers your question. So I'll kind of answer your question first and then share more deeply about it. So to answer your question, like, yeah, you can sit, you can try to script it perfectly, right? Like I share these tools so that it gives someone a framework, but yeah, you don't want to show up as like a little parrot or, you know, just like a robot. You need to bring in your humanity into that interaction. Like Rich said, your presence needs to be there. And when I was hearing Rich talk about our past together, and when we did come back together and have these conversations where we forgave each other and we cleared the past, really what was so pivotal was I was willing. I had the willingness and the readiness to hear Rich. It wasn't like I was just meeting to unload on him. I was willing to hear him. I was willing to let myself feel things that might come up as I hear him share about how I impacted him in the past. And I was willing to do that because I really trusted, like, this is good for me as a human. This is good for my growth and development. This is like a spiritual practice. And this is the key to creating healing and what we have been through together, and hopefully an amazing relationship going forward. And that is what happened. But it was like, I had to really show up with that presence. I had to be so willing, and Rich did as well. And because of that, because we both did that, like the things that Rich shared with me that day, and I just let myself hear and receive, it changed my life. It changed the way I relate to all men. It's changed all my relationships. I'm about to cry. I'm just like, it's been so impactful. Like it absolutely changed me to be a better person. And yeah, I actually am crying. So I'm glad that they won't see video, but
we can somehow put this video online if you want. No, we would never do that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie.
You're so welcome. I'm going to take a sip of water.
Yeah, please do.
I'll come in just in that moment, because I, as you were sharing that, I mean, you know, we're authentically relating right now. Like the impact that what you shared just had on me was like a shiver up my spine and then a welling up as well, because it can have that much of an impact on someone when you share what was real and you realize how you behave. And I know that I've definitely changed, and that was profoundly healing for me. It allowed me to go into that workshop and be much more authentic. I've always tried to be, but it's without the reactivity, and it's showing up as a human and listening to the other person. Authenticity isn't just firing out what you think. I've got into enough trouble over the years doing that. You know, I'm authentic. So no, you've been a bit of a prick. Actually, you know, so just thank you for that. And just to honor and acknowledge you in sharing what you just did and going to that place as well. Just being so real with it, like that was really moving for me too. So thank you.
And it's also moving as a as a witness to be a third party in that too. I think there's you know, again, that there are gifts, many gifts all around, I think. Well, as I'm experiencing in the process of authentically communicating and the impact that has, as it can extend out, isn't it? It's like a gift, I think. You know, the gift of seeing you two and hearing you two talk about openly what you've been through, kind of, I can feel that in me. It inspires me to be that in my relationships as well. So thank you as well. So yeah, I just, you know, as always, when we have these interviews on our podcast, Rich would agree with me, I feel like we could go on and on and on forever. However, we don't want to do that, because we want to let people actually contact and speak to you directly if they've got more stuff to talk or questions about the work that you do, Stephanie. So perhaps if you, you know, just by way of finishing off, you know, if you just want to maybe say any way that if any listener's been, you know, really caught by what have we been talking about tonight and really wants to follow up and have a conversation with you, how might they do that? What might you want to say to them right now?
What I would love to say first is, yeah, please do connect with me. And if you're hearing this podcast, let me know how it's impacted you. You can put some of what we've talked about here into practice with me directly. The best way to do that is on social media, Instagram and Facebook. Also, I share a lot of video content and posts on exactly what we're talking about here today and much more. So you can use that as a resource to gain some insight, not only into the tools, but actual practice with them, like actual experience and stories, and let that inspire you if it does. And just use that as a framework for yourself. I also have, which you can find if you can directly message me, or I can give you guys the link, but I do have a free masterclass online where I offer these tools, the basic tools. So you will have these frameworks that you can practice in your relationships. And I give you examples of how to do it. So you don't sound like a robot, and you have something to follow, but you're also bringing in that presence and authenticity into the moment. So I have that free masterclass video for you guys. I'm super happy to share that. And yeah. And I do group coaching, and I also do private coaching if that were to appeal to you as well. Thank you so much for having me on today. It's been like, wow, it's been very authentic, very real, and actually so enjoyable. Like, I'm definitely feeling really alive and connected right now.
As am I. And thank you so much for sharing honestly and coming on. We were joking before, for a few weeks actually, about, well, let's we should do something together and speak to this. And I feel the value from it, and I hope anyone listening can as well. And not just because Stephanie is a close and dear friend to me, but I strongly recommend checking her out because working with her in some way, because learning the tools for yourself and practicing them can be done, but it can also be kind of cumbersome. But having that support, that, like, whether you're a couple or you're relating with a group or something, and being held in a container where you can have someone guide you through it, that's extremely beneficial. So that was what I got out of the training I did with you. And that's why I'm able to communicate. There's the irony. pretty well and pretty deeply these days, I'd like to think. So definitely check her out. And also, there's a book that we were using in our relationship, which crumbled. So that doesn't sound like it's the best book to read. However, it's actually the fundamental basis for a lot of relationship work that I don't know, you, Stephanie, I think you still use it and refer to it. And I certainly do refer it to all of my clients. And it's called Conscious Loving.
Absolutely. Right?
By Gay Hendricks. And his partner, I forget her name, you can probably help me
Kathleen.
Out there. But it's Kathleen, thank you. It's about 75% theory, but it speaks to the way to do it. And then the last 25% is really a way that you can start to relate to your partner, isn't it? It's there's so much gold in there. So if working with Stephanie or someone or a course isn't available to you, it's a great reference to start with. So that would be my recommendation too. Final words to you, Stephanie.
I was just going to say, I think that's a great recommendation, Rich, that the book Conscious Loving definitely changed my life. And I would say that, yeah, we did use it in our relationship, and our relationship didn't crumble, because if it did, we wouldn't be here today on this podcast talking like this in front of everyone, let alone how we are, you know, in our actual relationship when we're not publicly sharing it on a podcast. So I would say it's actually massively helped our relationship, as well as, like Rich said, we definitely recommend this to our own clients. I love the Hendrix work so much.
Oh, we just had a little tick. Oh, there we go. We've got it back.
All right. Sorry about that. I'm here. But anyway, I was just basically saying I definitely recommend the book. It can be a lot to go in at it alone, especially if you haven't done work like this before with conscious relating. So I am here to help you with this. I'm sure Rich would be happy to help as well too. And I think Malcolm would too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I love I love this conversation. I love open-hearted conversations thoroughly myself. So I just want to thank you very much, Stephanie, for coming on. This has been, it's been a really beautiful, a beautiful chat, a beautiful conversation. And I've really enjoyed seeing you and Richard interact. It's been gold. So thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you in Bali when I finally get back over there sometime soon.
Yes, can't wait to see you guys here. Thank you for today. It's been an absolute pleasure sharing this and hearing you guys too. Thank you.
Ciao.
Ciao.
From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all of these issues and topics. So the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.